Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to my Strang Report podcast for Thursday, September 3rd. I am so honored today to have Rabbi Jonathan Kahn as my guest. You know him, of course, through his books, mainly The Harbinger and several other books, and now his new book, Harbinger 2, has just released this week, and it's already a bestseller. But there's something else we're going to talk about, and that is what is coming up on September 26th, Saturday, in Washington, D.C. is called The Return. It is a solemn assembly. And we wrote about it in the cover story of Charisma Magazine, which it was a September issue. Hopefully you get Charisma Magazine and read the article. And I just wanted to do a podcast with him about this because I'm trying to do everything I can to get people to go to The Return. So stay tuned for my exclusive interview with Jonathan Kahn. You don't want to miss it.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Rabbi Kahn, thank you for taking time to be with me to talk about this very important event that is happening in Washington, D.C. over several days, but principally on Saturday, September 26th. And we wrote about this in this issue of Charisma, and every month I like to interview whoever's on the cover. So thank you for taking time. And we're going to talk about The Return as well as about your new book called Harbinger 2, The Return. So first of all, you explained this in the article, but explain to me and my listeners and viewers how they're tied together.
Yeah, the Harbinger 2 is really a sequel to The Harbinger, which is the revealing the template of that's been replaying in America before our eyes, starting with 9/11, up to where we are now. Now we have this great shaking on the land. That's all part of the mystery. What it's saying is that there's a window of time given to a nation to come back to God, and the signs are around us are that the window is coming to an end, of the warning of that coming to an end. And that is why it is so crucial. I mean, first of all, if I didn't know anything else, I just knew that. That this period right now is so crucial that for us to come back to God, to come before God in return, in repentance, in prayer, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It is so crucial and so vital, on top of the fact, and I believe it's all linked together, there's an election coming up that's probably more crucial than any election as far as polarization between the two sides is heading, how America could be sealed on its course away from God and persecution, all that. And, you know, the Harbinger, too, reveals what has been, what has come since the Harbinger, the more mysteries, more Harbinger's manifestations, and then up to now, what's happening right now, the shaking that's on the land, it's a wake-up call. And so it leads up to, with all these things, it leads to hope. And the final part of it is, what do we do now? And it has very much to do with the return. I mean, I'm not that it's limited to that, but that it's very much linked together because it speaks of the very gathering that is needed, the very 2 Chronicles 7:14. So it's very connected. In fact, some of the mysteries, some things we'll talk about, I'm sure, we'll touch on some things in the book and probably things that I often don't get to in a regular interview.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the book. Let me just say that I think I was the second person to ever read it when you sent in the manuscript, and it's a magnificent book. And it's been out just a few days, and already it's at the top of all the charts. But even more important than that is the message. And in it, you reveal a mystery that has to do with judgment, of which America is a part, and it has to do with hope, which you just referred to. What is that hope?
Yeah, the hope is if my people, it says if my people who are called by my name, we all know it, but it's crucial. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And the thing is, that is a promise from God. If my people, and it's talking specifically about a people or a nation that is in danger of judgment. And the thing is that scripture really, or that principle has been used, actually saved America in many ways more than once. I'll give you an example. This is actually in the Harbinger 2, about which I normally don't get to because this is the subject here. When America was in the midst of civil war, and it looked bad for the North, as if they could lose. Not that they would have been taken over, but there were people wanting to sue for peace and let half of America go. Well, that would have changed history to this day. But the thing is that at that moment, 1863, there was a call for if my people event, a day of prayer and repentance before the Lord. And Abraham Lincoln issued it. It's an amazing, amazing document, calling the nation back to God in a day of prayer and repentance, which is what this event is that we'll get to, that's coming up, the return. And so when I looked at it, and I looked at that at the turning point of the war, and I looked at the actual days of the turning point of the turning point, when everything began to change, it in the South, victory with General Grant or Commander Grant, that led to the fall of Vicksburg. It happened the day after the National Day of Prayer and Repentance. And then on the East Coast, which would lead to Gettysburg, the same thing, the turning point happened the day after the National Day of Prayer, literally changing the course of the America and the world. And I'll mention one other thing that I mentioned there in the chapter called, I believe, The Western Terrorist. And that is something I remember. I'm sure you remember, Steve. And that is that there was a time when it looked horrible for America. Jimmy Carter was president, and the economy was sinking, and everything was sinking, and the embassy in Iran was taken over, 52 American hostages, we tried to rescue them, disaster happened, and then there was a second Chronicles 7:14 event, the day of prayer and supplication and repentance of God's people gathering on the National Mall, just like we will do in the return, and I was there, I was a new believer, and we prayed. I remember two things we prayed for specifically. One was where the Pentagon was helpless. God, you liberate those, set those captives free. Number one. Number two, everybody lifted up their hands to the Capitol building, the Western Terrace, and said, "Lord, put who you want into government." Well, a little while later, there was a revolution on the polls, and people who believed in biblical values or were saying that were swept into office, and the key one among them was Ronald Reagan. They switched the place of the inauguration that year after over a century, and they moved it to the place, to the side that's facing where we were praying. And so Reagan is standing on the terrace where we put our hands to. And so that happened in that same moment, that really in the same hour, the hostages were released from Iran, two prayers in one. And we saw a turnaround in America, economically, militarily, called mourning in America. And it all began, it affected the world, affected even the fall of the Soviet Union. But it all began as Reagan put his hand on the Bible. But it wasn't just on the Bible. His hand was on a scripture. And the scripture was, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." Exactly what we did. It was the scripture of that gathering. And he says, "I will heal their land." So God is so real. This literally changed history twice. And now we're at an even more critical moment. We're at a more dangerous moment, a more approaching really calamity, I believe, if we don't turn back. So that is why we've called for the return. National and Global Day of Prayer and Repentance. That's September 26th on the National Mall. And it's free. Everybody's invited. If you can get there, if you can't get there, do it in your home. Tell your pastor, do it in your church, do it in a field, have your own event, return. It doesn't matter. We're going to simulcast it. We're going to stream it. But it's the return, September 26th, National Mall, beginning at 9 a.m. by the Washington Monument, and all day with people from all over. And to get more information, they can just go to thereturn.org. It's there, and no matter whether you can come or do it where you are, thereturn.org.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the serious situation in our country. Even secular people know that something is very, very wrong. We're very divided. And there have been other prayer events. I've been to a number of them, and we have to believe that they had some effect, but not as stunningly as you just described. I mean, and the Harbinger 2 is full of those kinds of stories, just full of it. You know, prayer one day, victory in Vicksburg and Gettysburg the next day, those kinds of things. And later I'm hoping to interview you about the book itself. It's really something that every single believer needs to read. But what prompted it now? Because there's you know, we have an election coming up, and there's all kinds of things trying to get behind either Vice President Biden or President Trump. But this is not a political event, is it? This is going to be prayer for our country. What led to it, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah. It was, first of all, it's not a political event, though it's a spiritual event, but spiritual events affect political events, you know, and so we will pray for everything. We will, of course, pray for the election and for God to have his way and pray for everything. And it begins, though, with repentance. You know, and by the way, it's not just repentance. It begins with the repentance of God's people. We have to start there, and then we can intercede for God to hear us, to touch this world, touch this place. It began, first of all, with me. It began really with, on one hand, with a harbinger. Actually, we never talked about this, but in the harbinger, it actually calls for the return. It actually says that here, it's one word. It says, you know, the return, and it's talking about if my people. So that's there. I knew there had to be there has to be a return. There has to be repentance. Without repentance, there's no revival. After 9/11, the beginning of the harbinger, there was no revival because there was no repentance. So there's got to be that. But also, you know, even from 9/11, I felt this had to be. But, you know, I didn't have a book then. I didn't have that. But so that was there. So I've always, you know, been calling for this. And then there's a great man of God, a friend of mine named Kevin Jessup, who always had this burden for a solemn assembly. And that was on his heart. And he's praying about it and praying about it. And the Lord connected us. And so, you know, we knew, you know, it had to be, and it was set. Listen, before all this happened, all these shakings, it was set for this year, 2020, in the fall, in the autumn. And it's interesting. I know we'll get into it when we talk about the book, but the book, The Harbinger 2, reveals that from The Harbinger 1, you know, that was all foretold in the biblical template, even pinpointing this year, 2020, as a year of shaking. And for years, Steve, I was looking at this year and saying, Lord, is this going to be a year of shaking? Is this going to be that? Is it going to follow this, which is linked to judgment or the potential end of the window? So all that was there. And we planned this, or it was planned for this year. And then came Corona. You know that the virus, you know that I met with you and others on the first week of this year to tell you two things, you know, and one was that the Lord led me that I had to write this book now, The Harbinger 2. This was the time. And I started in January, and then, you know, then everything happened. And the other thing was the return. And they're linked together. And because when I was praying, Steve, about what was the next book, I always prayed, Lord, what's the next book? And this wasn't what I was planning for, you know, and it was The Harbinger 2, the thing I'd held off for years. People, you know, when are you going to do the sequel? I held off. I knew it could only be the right time. So I also knew this was going to be a year of shaking. And I mean, I had a strong sense of it. I told people that publicly, you know, shaking dark events. And so that this was going to be the resuming of the harbinger, the in force, you know. And so I had to get this word out this year, right now. And it all is kind of converging. Here it is, September, The Harbinger 2 just coming out, the return coming out. So I believe this is the time. I mean, not only that, Steve, but, you know, we said, why is it this time? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people look at the verse before, it gives the context. It says, if I send plague on the land, then if my people, well, we got the plague. It says, if I send locusts on the land. Well, you know that 2020 is also the year, the greatest year of the plague of locusts in generations all over the world. Also famine. It says three things. They're all happening. You only need one. And so, and the other thing we just discovered, I don't think I spoke to you about this, Steve, but because I just kind of just found out about it. You know, we planned, it was planned, and Kevin was felt led, September 26th. It turns out, it's a Saturday. It turns out, I didn't know this, it turns out on the biblical or Hebrew calendar, that day is already ordained a special day. It's called Shabbat Shuvah. Shabbat is Sabbath, or it's a Saturday, but Shuvah is what it is. The word Shuvah means in Hebrew, the return. It's the day of the return already set. And it's a day appointed already for repentance, the repentance of a nation coming back to God. And the appointed scripture is the scripture on Joel. It says, consecrate a solemn assembly and come before the Lord. That's exactly what the return is. So it's quite, I mean, I have no question. This is God's timing. It's also around 40 days before the election. You know, it's actually a 10-day period where we're going to be devoting to prayer. It's also the 400th anniversary of one of the days of the sailing of the Mayflower, the spiritual founding of America. So it's all converging, all coming together for this moment.
I was told that you recently discovered something about the return that blew you away.
Yeah, that was it. Meaning that we had no idea, but it was already ordained by God as the day of Shuvah, the day of return, and the day of a sacred assembly, you know, which actually, you know, we're using Joel 2 as the template. You know, we're going to sound the shofar. We're going to have, you know, as a template of what God says in Joel 2. You know, if you do that, then I will hear from heaven. I will restore the years, the locusts of Eden, the whole thing. But that's the appointed scripture for that Saturday. I mean, and we had no idea.
And of course, the Harbinger 2 is full of those kinds of examples of where something happened on something and all these years later, something else happened. I mean, that was kind of what blew people away with the Harbinger. And it was amazing for me to see how the Harbingers have continued. They didn't end with 9/11. And then, of course, you didn't write it until 2011, which was 10 years later. I think it came out in 2012. But yeah, it's just amazing how all these things have come together. And now is kind of culminating with the return. Now, you know that the people who come are going to have a heart to pray and repent. How can they pray and repent for everybody in America?
Well, it starts, you know, if you look at the pattern, I mean, first it says, if my people, you know, so it begins with God's people. And then with Joel, it says, you know, the first people to repent are the priests, you know, the ministers, you know, the people of God, you know, in a sense. So you know, and on Yom Kippur, which, by the way, is like it begins the night of the next day, the priest would first have to atone for his own sins. And so it begins by us coming together. You know, there have been, you know, leaders and in the body and the body of the Lord coming together for our sins, the sins of the church and our sins. Then, you know, then we can intercede for America. I mean, you know, we've offered up 60 million children. We have turned away from abortion. We've turned away from God. We blaspheme God. We have hardened ourselves. We have, you know, since 9/11, you know, we've actually followed the mystery of the harbinger. It's not just the signs. It's America. We followed what ancient Israel did when it led to its destruction. We have defied God and raced away from God. We, you know, like just like but Daniel, the prophets, you know, are called to intercede on behalf of the nation. You know, when you watch or when you read about Daniel 9, when he's praying, it sounds like he's the one who sinned. He's the one who worshiped idols. But it's not. He's putting himself into the place of everyone. So we have to intercede for America, because we can't ask America to intercede for America. We can't ask people who don't know the Lord to intercede. We have to do that. But it begins with our repentance. And then, you know, and God, you know, we kind of look at repentance often as, okay, oh, repent. It's a drag. You're wrong. Repentance is a gift. It's a joy. It opens up all the blessings of God. But so in our life, that it does that. And then He will hear our prayer for the nation itself. And it's not just the nation, it's the world. There's going to be, I mean, there's thousands of gatherings, churches and others that are going to be simulcasting this and having their own event in America and around the world. So, it you know, and listen, we've been praying for worldwide revival. It could begin, you know, but without repentance, you don't have revival. So repentance is key. And that begins with each of us. We can't just pray for revival, Steve. We have to be living in revival.
So people can understand what to expect. Kind of walk us through. There's going to be a youth event, I think, the night before. Can you tell us about that? And then on Saturday, does it start early in the morning at noon? Are there going to be prayers, speakers? What's the format?
Yeah, the night before is kind of a pre-event, focusing on youth and others. I think it begins at 6 to 8 or something, or tonight. But the main event of the return begins Saturday, September 26th, at 9 a.m. And we meet at the Washington Monument, or in between the Washington Monument and the Capitol building. It's right that stretch there. And they're going to be, you know, there will be leaders. There will be, I mean, you're going to be part of it, Steve, one way or the other, if you can make it or if you can do it by
I'm going to be there.
Oh, good. We didn't talk. Awesome. So there'll be leaders there from, you know, Anne Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, Martin Luther King's niece, Alveda King. Dr. Dobson will have a part by video, Pat Robertson and, you know, Harry Jackson. I mean, all the whole body. But we'll be gathering. And the first thing that's going to happen actually is going to be the sounding of the trumpets, because that's how you begin a sacred gathering. And then we're going to open. We're going to have some, you know, special prophetic events throughout that day. But then we're going to focus on the church first, our sins. We got to come before the Lord about our, you know, it couldn't be this dark. if we're the light of the world, how could it get this dark if we were truly shining as we should have? So we're gonna come before for us and leaders in the church. You know, for pastors, all we have to, the repentance has to begin with us. Then personal repentance. There's also going to be worship. You know, Don Moen and others. I can't promise. I think I was told that Michael W. Smith. We'll have worship in between and songs. You know, I mean, throughout times of prayer. Also, words, you know, will be given. The focus is prayer, you know, and coming before God in intercession. But there's also going to be word. People will share a little bit before they pray, and there'll be some special words. Then it will go around at 11 o'clock. I'm going to do, you know, what they're calling the keynote or prophetic part. And I'm going to share, a prophetic word for this hour. And I mean, for the moment we're in. And it's going to be around 11 o'clock. Also, some prophetic acts there, the Lord will lead that. And then we're going to move into intercession and prayer now for America. And by the different things, there'll be different leaders and different people lifting up different things from the blood on our hand, from the children, you know, to sexual immorality, to the strife, disorder, the hatred, you know, the division of everything. We're gonna do that. And then it's gonna go into from America to the world. There's gonna be people kind of coming in on the videos from the world, and we're gonna be praying for the continents of the world and some nations, and then we're ultimately gonna, and we're also have some worship from the nations, and then we're going to pray for Israel and the Middle East, Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. You got to do that, and we'll have things from Israel coming back and forth, you know, and then we're going to go into a time of really, it's repentance, but now we're going to say, Lord, now we're going to call out, you know, have your way, reign, you know, as in Job, you know, first part is repenting. The second part is, Lord, now touch us. And it's going to be in God's presence. It's going to be the Spirit of God, and breakthrough and all, again, all sorts of special things. I'm going to be doing there's certain ancient prayers for the nations. And we're going to have at the end, like it could be 100, it could be 1,000 shofars blowing, blasting the Aaronic blessing. I mean, so, you know, and also, and of course, and again, throughout this time, worship leaders who are leaders of in music, and Marty Goetz, Paul Wilbur, you know, all this. So it's all these things. It's going to be filled. And then last thing is, so that ends at 5 o'clock. Then there'll be a break. And for those who want, there will be a kind of an afterglow time of celebration that will happen around 6 o'clock to about 8:30, around there, which will be, you know, celebration and worship and more. So that, in a large nutshell, that is a taste of what the return is going to be.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful event, and I'm looking forward to being there. And we're doing everything we can, including interviews like this, to try to get out the word. So tell me, what's going to happen the next day? The one in 1863, the next day Vicksburg fell and there was a turning point at Gettysburg. What do you think is going to happen the next day, the next week, the next year?
Well, okay. Yeah, well, we don't want Vicksburg to fall again. it was the first events. But here's the interesting thing, Steve. If you were back then, I mean, some people may have noticed it, but probably most of people didn't even notice that anything happened. But Grant's first victory at Port Gibson, which is the first victory that led to that move to Vicksburg, which he had no victories. It was the first of five. So and then you wouldn't necessarily have connected the dots until when you look back. And the same thing with 40 years ago. By the way, this is the 40th anniversary of that gathering in Washington that I was there. You know, and you wouldn't necessarily see it right away. I mean, but you did see it a few months later. You saw everything happen. So I can't say what you're going to see. You may see things get worse also before they get better. We don't know. I believe we're great shakings are coming. I believe the shakings are not over. I believe we could see shakings and revival coming through the same thing. Revival can come through the shakings. So I believe that that's coming. But I believe ultimately for God, my sense is that there's going to be shaking, that we are in a time of judgment and shaking at the same time that in the midst of it, there's going to be revival. And that's what I'm looking at. That there can be revival, and God's people are going to be strengthened by this to stand in all that's coming. And it can even, you know, light the flames of what will become worldwide revival, because there's going to be people all over the world praying as well and repenting as well. So I don't know what we will see or not see right away. My sense is we're going to see a lot of tough things, but that this has to be now, and that we can see that. And it could affect the election as well on top of it. But I also believe this election is going to be very dramatic, and there's going to be shaking in it too. So the ultimate thing, no matter what, revival. The ultimate thing, worldwide revival. and how we see it and when we see it, but I believe that's the end of what this is.
Several months ago, there was a pastor from Kentucky named Coverstone. He was not known before. He had a dream and did a video about it. And you and I have not talked about this, but someone on the staff suggested that I ask you about it because he had a dream about September.
Yes.
What was it?
Yeah, this is, and he's a great man of God. He's a humble man, and he didn't ask for all this. He's just been having these dreams. But the dreams have been coming true, and again, we have to test all things, but they came true thus far. He saw March as the key thing, you know, which is when the corona struck. He saw June as with the riots and people with masks, wearing masks. He told other people about it and all that. So it's amazing because it's about this year, that this year is very significant. But for September, what was the significant thing? What he saw was September is going to be the call for prayer by the Spirit, calling, a growing call for prayer before God, to pray for revival, pray for the harvest, and pray for cleansing, of the church, and pray for strengthening. And it was a growing thing happening across America from the beginning of September toward the end. But as they're praying, there's a storm cloud gathering. Storm clouds are gathering. Something's happening, darkening. But there's revival. There's fire starting in the prayer where people are praying and more praying throughout America. But there's also a fire of opposition. And, like we have the riots and all those things. A fire. Now people can take that as a spiritual warfare or physical or both. He also saw gigantic warfare in the heavenlies over all this, gigantic warfare. And then a hand writes on the calendar, on the top of the calendar, a solemn assembly. And literally right before September, you have the word September. He said, so it's a September solemn assembly. And the implication is it happens, it's heading toward the end, crescendo toward the end of September. And I don't have a doubt that this is the return is set as a solemn assembly in America on September, at the very end of September, September 26. And then he saw the last days of September. And he saw the battle getting fierce and people praying, but battle. He saw people actually wounded and, force against them is a heavy warfare. But they're standing. And at the end, they're standing and the clouds break. And he hears the voice of God saying, prepare, a voice to his bride and, to stand and that he's coming and that there's really end times. But of all the things he could have seen or that was shown as what was significant for September, it all appears to converge, and be linked to the return.
Well, I believe that you're right. And I want to call attention again to this issue of charisma. The article was more about you and what God is doing through this new book. And it was kind of interesting. You kept saying over and over, in the space I have, I can only say this much. And of course, I've read the book and in conversation, I've had trouble repeating all of it because there's so much. Yeah. And then, of course, it talks about the return. And toward the end, we will remind everyone how they can be involved. But I want you to just tell people this. You can't summarize the whole book.
Yeah.
There's no need to try to. In fact, you've done other interviews. You're just on the 700 Club and Dr. Dobson and some other places. I'll do an in-depth interview with you as well. But I'd like you to tell people why they need to read The Harbinger. If they know they need to read it, they don't need to know all the secrets. And in fact, they need to read the book to find out all those things. So what is it about The Harbinger? Because I thought The Oracle was great, The Book of Mysteries. Every single one I say is better than the one before, but this one really is. So how do you answer that question?
Yeah, and this is it. Actually, the background is what Charisma made for me. I have one that has the words on it for the next, when we do the other video. But The Harbinger 2, the reason, listen, I don't think, that, first of all, there's never been a book that I've held back so long to release until I knew, or to write until I knew the time was right. I don't believe there's ever been a book that I've written so timely by the unction of God that this is it, has to be now. Because what was in The Harbinger is coming to pass. And this is vital, critical, not only for America, but for your life. And this is a wake-up call from God. What has happened? Where are we right now? Why is it happening? Where is it leading? And what do you need to know? And what do your loved ones need to know? And what do those who don't know the Lord in your life or who do know the Lord in your life, What do they need to know for this hour and for the future and for the days to come? So I truly believe that this is vital for this hour. And that's why, listen, I've never, Steve, you know this, you can bear, I've never come to you on the first week and said, listen, this is what I announced it. I've never done that with you guys. You know, this is what I have from the Lord. One is about this year. One is the Harbinger 2 has to come out. The other is the return. It has to be for this year before it'll happen. So that's why I believe this is vital for everybody.
I agree with you. And let's go over how people can be involved. It's called www.thereturn.org. So it's thereturn.org.
Yes.
And there's also places that you can call for more information, but probably the website is the biggest place.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Your book is available everywhere.
Yeah, and you're probably better at this than I am. But yes, for the return, whether you can go to Washington, it'll help you there. Get your pastor, get buses if you can go there. I'll tell you that on the site also. But do it in your home. It'll tell you how to do it. Do it in your church. Do it. Have your own event. But it's all there. However you can do it. But it's thereturn.org, and they'll help you. Thereturn.org. And for the book, you can go anywhere online, of course, you know, Amazon and everywhere will have the Harbinger 2, CBD, all that. Also, any bookstore will have it now, including from Walmart to every other bookstore that's open. And there are also special, very generous offers that Charisma has made. I don't know when they'll hear it, but if you hear it soon, but if you go to theharbingerreturns.com, you may be able to get in on a special offer, or you certainly get the book, theharbingerreturns.com. But you can go to anywhere and you'll get it.
And I'll just tell people, as the publisher, I know these things. In fact, we talked about it this morning. It is selling so well that we're having to rush out another print run. And I found out I only have one copy. And I was asking for some more.
I couldn't, Steve. We have a shipment for our ministry. I always do a signing here. I couldn't get it. so we're getting it.
Good
we're getting
problem.
It like in the middle of the month.
Yeah. So thank you, Jonathan Kahn. You are such a blessing to the body of Christ, or the body of the Messiah, as some say, and you've certainly been a blessing to us. You know, I've published over 2,000 books, and you know, you do the best you can, but most of them are probably forgettable. But the books you've done is the reason why we exist, you know, The Harbinger and some of the other books, and it's just such an honor to be chosen by God, in a matter of speaking. If people know the background story, it was almost like a miracle how we came together, and
wow.
Now this very important book at this very important time that could actually change history. So thank you for taking time, and I'll give you one last word.
Yeah, thank you so much. And listen, thank you, because, you know, I can't do this without, you know, what you're doing. So thank you for your faithfulness. And it was a God thing. For those who don't know the story, it was totally God who did this supernaturally. And it's all a God thing to this moment. So I will just say, listen, we got to be ready. We have to be prepared. This is a momentous hour. It could be our greatest hour for those who will stand strong for God. So do not fear, just be in the will of God and start your own personal revival, and God will lift you up. You know, when the dark gets darker, the lights of God are gonna shine bright, and that's everyone out there. So let's rise to the call. This is a biblical hour.
I'm back in the studio, and I wanted to say something about my books. Of course, this podcast was not about me or my books, but I like to tell my listeners on the Charisma Podcast Network to pick up a copy of God, Trump, and the 2020 election, as well as God, Trump, and COVID-19. The best way is to go to my own website called stevestrangbooks.com, and books has an S on it, because all of my books, God and Donald Trump and Trump Aftershock, are there. There's different specials. You can get them in bundles. Also, if you want to buy a whole bunch of them, you get them real, real cheap. And all of the books, except for the ones in bundles, are signed by me, the author, and a lot of people like that. So go to stevestrangbooks.com. That's stevestrangbooks.com. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.